Matthew chapter 4 today on Through the Word, temptation. It's a scary word, isn't it? Puts my heart just a little bit on edge. Something dangerous is knocking on my door. Maybe something tantalizing. And it's just me here. Will I open that door? Temptation is risky business, but it's part of life. We are human. But do you think that God understands what it's like? How it feels to see what you want within reach? The race of thoughts that wonder if anyone's looking, or if anyone cares anyway, and to feel the weight of your soul hanging in the balance. Temptation. Do you ever wonder if God can relate? Now, the story here in Matthew 4 begins quite simply. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's Jesus, hungry and tempted. Now with me here again is my good friend Jonathan Ferguson, live from Kenya. Jonathan, what do you see here?
Well, it's no coincidence that Jesus' temptation immediately follows his baptism. Christians often find that the toughest temptations that they face follow their conversion or another major spiritual moment, such as a retreat or a successful evangelistic experience. Now, interestingly, it's the same Spirit that just anointed Jesus in chapter 3 who is now leading him into the wilderness. Now, the Holy Spirit does not cause temptation. That's what the devil does. But the Spirit knew what Jesus was going to face and led him there, knowing, obviously, what Romans 8 says, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God had a purpose for this temptation, to prove Jesus. What the devil meant for temptation, God will use as a different kind of test, to prove Jesus' faithfulness.
See, now, this is important to me, because for me, if I'm going to follow someone, if I'm going to trust, I want to know what he's made of. I want to know, can he stand the test? Well, let's see what the devil throws at him. Temptation 1 is in verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." So the first temptation was eating, but it wasn't just about bread. Jesus was fasting. And fasting is about relying on God for strength. Jesus was fully human, and he too had to rely on the Father. The temptation is to fall back on self-reliance. Save yourself. Take care of your own needs.
But notice how Jesus responds to the temptation by quoting Scripture. He quotes here from Deuteronomy 8, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here, Moses was reminding Israel how God provided for them every day. They couldn't feed themselves, but God provided for them the entire time. When we're tempted to give our physical needs priority over our spiritual needs, we need to remember that we need God more than we need food. We need every word of God.
And speaking of God's word, verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down." Now, that highest point on the temple is the roof of Solomon's porch, and it had a sheer drop-off into the Kidron Valley. Go ahead, jump. Now, if you've ever faced something truly stupid and thought, "God can't let me fall," you know this logic. Satan even quotes a psalm to justify it. See, God promises you, angels will catch you, you can't be harmed.
Yeah, Satan quotes it, but not all of it. We need to beware of that half-logic of the devil. Psalm 91 promises protection and safeguarding to all who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. It does not say, "If you act stupidly and foolishly, I will protect you." Jumping off a cliff is not living and dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. It is also written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." In that story, Moses was reminding the Israelites of how they had tested the Lord, asking, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is he really here? Will he take care of us?" We must not test God's faithfulness by creating a situation where we try to force God to act in a certain way. "God, if you don't do X, then I'm going to do Y." "Well, God says he's going to provide for me, so I think I'm going to just quit my job, not work, spend money unwisely." This is foolishness.
Temptation number 3 is in verse 8. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me." Now, to really get this, you have to understand that Satan is offering exactly what Jesus wants. Jesus' destiny, his great ambition, to become the King of Kings over all the kingdoms of the world. But Satan offered it all without a cross. This was the true test. If Jesus' kingdom was all about himself, if Jesus was just in it for the power, the wealth, now's the chance. Everything you want without the price tag.
Now, Satan often tempts Christians in this same way, with promises of fame and fortune, health and wealth. But the price for this instant gratification is too high. It results in the loss of our eternal souls. Whatever joy or power we gain in this transaction will be instantly wiped out upon our death. Jesus again responds to the devil from Deuteronomy 6. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. God alone is worthy of worship, the one who redeemed Israel out of the bondage in Egypt, the one who would redeem mankind out of the bondage of sin and death. With this rebuke, the devil leaves Jesus for now. It's important to remember that this was not the only time that the devil tempts Jesus. No doubt Jesus was tempted by the devil his entire life. But after the devil leaves, the angels come and minister to him. The very thing the devil was using to tempt him during that second temptation now arrive to help him in his time of physical need.
That's right. Trust God, don't test God. And there's an interesting connection between the three temptations of Jesus and the temptations of Eve in the garden. And 1 John also lists three basic temptations: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, what do you think about the big three?
Basically, these three summarize the entirety of temptation. These big three, Jesus knows all about them. He's been there. He's felt the pain of temptation. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way common to human experience. That doesn't mean that Jesus was tempted in every conceivable possible way, but in every kind of temptation. He was human, and he can relate to us.
Now, I don't want to leave this topic of temptation without giving a little practical help. Everyone fights it. So what do you do? Well, first, fight with the word. That's what Jesus did. Second, something that Jonathan and I did ourselves. For many years, while Jonathan was stateside, the two of us met weekly to share our struggles, confess our sins, find strength against temptation. And it worked. I would say it was the single most effective thing that I did in my life to stay on track and stay pure. And it's exactly what God says to do. Galatians 6, bear each other's burdens. James 5, confess your sins to one another and find healing. And it works. And we kept each other accountable to stay in the Word, which is how Jesus washes us clean. To be honest, one of the reasons I wanted to record this series together was to give all of you listeners an example that following Jesus is a team sport. Study the Word together. Two are better than one.
Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of the king.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.